Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guests are Leanne Moore, owner of Oceanside Jams, and her father, Don Duclos. There are several flavors of jams that you produce that are from native berries, and one of them in particular that I'm just fascinated with is salal, because a lot of people recognize that as something that's used in floral arrangements. And until I met you, I didn't know that anybody ever put that berry. I didn't know it was edible, and I never knew that people made jam out of it.
That's the biggest question I have, that people will say, what is that? And I show them a picture of it, and they'll say, oh, I see that along the road. I say, oh, yes. And then the next question, isn't that poisonous? And it is not. I've been enjoying salal jelly for all my life. It's actually one of my uncle's favorite jellies of everything we did. And we actually picked probably about a 5-gallon bucket of it yesterday and started juicing it. And we use a steam juicer to extract the jelly or the juice from the berry. And they are quite flavorful. Everybody that tries it seems to like want to buy one because they enjoy the flavor. It almost has a molassesy aftertaste in it.
Huh.
And it's great with sauteing with like carrots and things like that, vegetables in your kitchen. So it's a great cooking jelly as well as just one to eat.
I think that's one of the things about jams and jellies, you know, or having a lot of them, is concerned about, you know, the sugar or using them in things that are going to be sweet. But there are also savory applications for some of the jams and jellies.
Right.
What are some of the other ways that you might use them that might take them to a more savory location?
I just try them in all types of my dishes when I'm cooking in the kitchen, whether it's be chili or scrambled eggs or anything like that. I just add a little bit to see what it does to the flavor. The flavor profile of it.
That's funny, because what we do at home is when we make beans, you know, like baked beans, we will use canned baked beans sometimes and drain them. And then we go through the refrigerator and it's like, got a little dab of this, got a little dab of that. Pretty much we clean the refrigerator, and then people will go, these are so good. How do you make them? And we're like, but I no clue what went into them.
I know children have come to me and said that the salal, they take the berries and they use a slingshot and they, you know, sling them at their brother or something like that.
Berry fight.
That's how they use them. Yeah. But they are edible, and they are very tasty, tasty jelly.
We had one person the other day tell us that his mother told him they were poisonous.
And you were able to show them that that was not true. Yeah, it's just amazing just educating people about that. Now, one of the berries that you use does have a poisonous cousin, and that's the elderberries. As I understand, the red elderberries are poisonous, and the black elderberries are not.
I just use the black elderberries in our business, and I either get them from Willow Creek or the Sacramento Valley, or actually both. We do have one of our clients that has quite a bit of property up in Willow Creek area, and will bring me her elderberries.
Okay. Yeah, I think the ones on the coast, a lot of the elderberries on the coast are the red elderberries. It's a plant that I think a lot of people call snowball tree. And so it has this profusion of blossoms of elderberry flowers. And then later on, you have the red berries, and then you have the birds come. And apparently the birds aren't affected by it. But the black elderberries, what is the flavor of the black elderberry, and why do people enjoy that one?
I think it's closest to a grape.
Huh.
Not a Concord grape, but just a nice dark grape. I actually judged some elderberry at the state fair this previous Friday, and it wonderful flavor. It's kind of just melts in your mouth. It's almost a heaven in a jar feel. It's just very, very pleasant.
A unique flavor to it.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, Don, what is your favorite jam or jelly that Leanne makes, or your wife makes? Because I'm sure your wife makes the best.
When,
I don't want to get you in trouble.
Most of her jams, I don't really taste them. I haven't tried them, but I love strawberry and huckleberry too once in a while.
Yeah.
You'd rather make a huckleberry pie or a native blackberry pie.
But I like native Himalayas better than I like blackberries.
Oh, okay. Then the native blackberry. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that is one that will be a controversy forever of who likes which types of berries. What do you think, Leanne, about the native blackberry versus the Himalayas?
I love the native blackberry over the Himalayas. Himalayas are great for juicing and making jelly. I do a lot of that, but I just love the native blackberry. My second favorite would be the huckleberry jam.
The native blackberries, just to me, have so much more flavor. Yes. They're just more flavorful in a small, compact package.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but your Himalayas, when they're really ripe, they're just so sweet and so good. Uh-huh. I mean, you can't compare them. I don't. I mean, I'd rather have Himalayas, but that's only me.
Yeah. You know, I know you do a lot with native berries, but you also do some other things.
Yes, I do dill pickles, bread and butter pickles. I do lemon curd, lemon lime curd. I do a white peach salsa and a tomato-based salsa. And I do other jams, like my dad referred to, strawberry, apricot mango. And I also do a roasted pepper jelly where I take 7 or 8 different types of peppers, roast them on the grill, and then make a jelly with those.
Yeah, you know, I had a friend who bought that. And it was funny because she went somewhere and bought it, and she goes, I just bought the best pepper jelly I've ever eaten in my life. And I said, I bet you my friend Leanne Duclo made that. She sure enough checked the jar and it was yours. And I think that's one of the differences is that you take a recipe. A lot of people are used to pepper jelly, but when you roast the peppers, you get a depth of flavor that you just don't get in a regular pepper jelly.
Correct.
And she's also started root beer jelly now.
Root beer. Now, what kind of root beer do you use to make root beer jelly?
Of root beer extract.
Well, darn, that burst my bubble.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do a line of that root beer jelly, as well as what we call an orange cream jelly, like a 50-50 bar. I've also started the pickled garlic line that's done very, very well. We're just, our hands are into every little avenue of canning.
And do you try to source a lot of your ingredients locally?
As much as possible. I'm always scouring the farmers markets. I'm also dealing with Ginger Sarvinsky, the Sarvinsky farm in Shively. She's now growing all my pickling cucumbers, and she's actually put in more pickling cucumbers because of the demand I have. So I'm working real closely with her getting that taken care of.
That's great to be able to work with a farmer, have them grow what it is that you want, that you know you're going to use, and they've got that relationship as well, so they know they have a customer ready and willing to buy the produce.
Yeah, I get my strawberries from the strawberry farmer in Fortuna. I understand he's retiring this year, so I'm not sure where I'll be getting my strawberries next year, but you know, and my mom grows quite a few blueberries, and we do all that kind of thing. I mean, as much as possible. Uh-huh. Obviously, the apricots come from the valley. And a lot of the peppers come from Orleans and Willow Creek area, things of that nature.
One of the things, again, you know, we're talking a little bit about sugars and jams. Have you done any work with trying to create low sugar jams for people who may have either diabetes, you know, or other issues with sugar?
Yes, I do low sugar jams, but on special orders only. Usually I'm using a Pomona pectin, that type of situation, or organic sugar or xylitol sugar. I know there's some other sugars out there like I'm looking at right now that don't have the effects of xylitol. I went to the Crescent City Farmers Market recently, and there was a lady just using erythritol. Maybe I'm mispronouncing, but it's very expensive. You know, if a 5-pound bag of sugar is $5, it's like $25 for it.
Okay, five times
the
cost.
I've tried all her samples a couple weeks ago in Crescent City, and they taste wonderful. There are people out there experimenting with it, and it's great to see that there are so many options, even locally, to find something that's a low sugar or no sugar type jam or jelly.
That's great. Well, looks like we run out of time and talking more about local native berries and making jams out of them. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Leanne Moore, owner of Oceanside Jams, and her father and berry picker, Don Duclo. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.